Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A wonderful Wednesday to you. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Get in on the action. Get in on the conversation. You can also email the show, Cale, C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com, and the Twitter account. Now that Elon's in charge, people are starting to follow me now. Maybe you could too. At Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. Well, if you're on Twitter earlier, you might have seen something that I posted, a little tease for tonight's topic, which we're going to talk about right now. And this is real talk. This is real talk. I came across this article, and man, it hit me hard because I've been through this. And it's about marriage. And the author is basically saying that it's not the major marriage crimes that are going to do in your relationship with your spouse. It might be something as simple as not doing those dishes. Well, as somebody who admittedly doesn't like to do dishes, and my wife is listening, so I can't fib about this. She knows. And this piece was actually in The Atlantic, theatlantic.com, The Atlantic magazine. And it was written by a guy named Matthew Fray. And unfortunately, his own marriage did fray, no pun intended. Well, puns are always intended. Who are we kidding? But sadly, his marriage did fray and fall apart. And the article was called "The Marriage Lesson That I Learned Too Late." And this little article was actually adopted from his book, Matthew Fray's book, which I might actually pick up because based on this article, he's a good writer. And it's called, sad title, it's called "This Is How Your Marriage Ends," by Matthew Fray. This is how your marriage ends. However, there is a hopeful subtitle. It's "This is how your marriage ends," subtitled a hopeful approach to saving relationships. So this is kind of preventative medicine, if you will. And this is what he says. I'm just going to just quote him a little bit here. This is Matthew Fray writing in The Atlantic, and he says, quote, The things that destroy love and marriage often disguise themselves as unimportant. Many dangerous things neither appear nor feel dangerous as they're happening. They're not bombs. They're not gunshots. They're pinpricks. They're paper cuts. And that is the danger. When we don't recognize something as threatening, then we're not on guard. These tiny wounds start to bleed. And the bleed out is so gradual that many of us don't recognize the threat until it's too late to stop it. He says, I spent most of my life believing that what ended marriages were behaviors that I classify as major marriage crimes. If murder, for example, armed robbery, are major crimes in the criminal justice system, I viewed sexual affairs, adultery, physical spousal abuse, and gambling away the family savings as major crimes in marriage. Because I wasn't committing major marriage crimes, he says, when my wife and I were on opposite sides of an issue, I would suggest that we simply agree to disagree. I believe that she was wrong, either that she was fundamentally incorrect in her understanding of the situation, or that she was treating me unfairly. It always seemed as if the punishment didn't fit the crime, as if she were charging me with premeditated murder when my infraction was something closer to driving a little bit over the speed limit with a burned out taillight that I didn't even know was burned out. The reason my marriage fell apart seems absurd when I describe it. My wife left me because sometimes I leave dishes by the sink. End of quote. Now, again, this is Matthew Fray. This is an excerpt from his book that was in The Atlantic. So if you're just tuning in, you heard me say my marriage fell apart because I didn't do this. That's not me. Although it easily could be any one of us, as you'll find out. This is Matthew Frey writing in The Atlantic. It's really an excerpt from his book, This Is How Your Marriage Ends, which is hopefully subtitled A Hopeful Approach to Saving Relationships. So it's all about, hey, don't do what I did, is basically what he's saying. Now, I don't know if you've been through something like this, but if this resonates in any way, call in. You can give me your take on this. 888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. You might also want to fire a comment on Twitter. Maybe producer Jim, you can maybe check Twitter and see what the conversation is. At Cale Clark, C-A-L-E on Twitter. And you can also follow me on the show account as well, at Cale Clark Show. But Cale Clark, Cale Clark Show, both on Twitter, I'm there as well. All right, so this is what Matthew Frey says. He goes on to say, about talking about his marriage falling apart because he left dishes by the sink. He says, this makes my wife seem ridiculous, and it makes me seem like a victim of unfair expectations. But it wasn't really the dishes. It was what they represented. And he says, hundreds, maybe thousands of times, my wife tried to communicate that something was wrong, that something hurt. But that doesn't make sense, I thought. I'm not trying to hurt her, therefore she shouldn't feel hurt. I'm not doing anything to hurt her, so why should she feel that way? And he says, we didn't go down in a fiery explosion. We bled out from 10,000 paper cuts, quietly, slowly. She knew something was wrong. I insisted that everything was fine. This is how my marriage ended, and it could be how yours ends too. And then he goes on to say, this is Matthew Frey. He says, every couple has their own unique version of the same fight. And he capitalizes those words, the same fight. It could be any number of things, throwing laundry on the floor, tracking mud through the house right after your partner just cleaned it up. It doesn't matter what the actual thing is. For us, it was dishes left by the sink. And so where does this come from? He explains it a little bit. He says, sometimes I leave used drinking glasses by the kitchen sink, just inches away from the dishwasher. It wasn't a big deal to me back then. It wasn't a big deal to me when I was married. It isn't a big deal to me now, but it was a big deal to her. Each time my wife entered the kitchen to discover the glass I'd left next to the sink, she moved incrementally closer to moving out and ending our marriage. I just didn't know it yet. And he says, you might be wondering, hey, Matt, why would you leave a glass by the sink instead of putting it in the dishwasher? A couple of reasons, he says. Number one, I might want to use it again. What's the point in washing it if you're going to use it again? And number two, he says, I personally don't care if a glass is sitting by the sink unless guests are visiting. I will never care, ever. It's impossible. It's like asking me to make myself interested in crocheting or to enjoy yard work. Not going to happen. There's only one reason I will ever stop leaving that dirty glass by the sink, and it's a lesson I learned much too late. Because I love and respect my partner, and it really matters to them. I think I believe that my wife should respect me simply because I exchange vows with her. It wouldn't have been the first time I acted entitled, but what I know for sure is that I never connected putting a dish in the dishwasher with earning my wife's respect. So can you identify 1-888-914-9149's toll-free line on The Cale Clark Show? So Matthew Frey says, I think sometimes these little things blow up into the same fight, capitalized, the same fight, because maybe we don't think it's fair that our partner's preferences should always win out over ours. It's as if we want to fight for our right to leave that glass there. So your reaction might sound something like this. And this is what he used to say to himself, maybe what he used to say to his wife. You want to take an otherwise peaceful evening and have an argument with me over this glass? After all the big things I do to make our life possible, things I never hear a thank you for, which I don't ask for, by the way, you're going to elevate a glass by the sink into a marriage problem? I couldn't be that petty if I tried. If you want that glass in the dishwasher, put it in there yourself without telling me about it. Otherwise, I'll put it away when people are coming over or when I'm done with it. This is a BS fight. I didn't say that, but this is a BS fight that feels unfair. I wanted my wife to agree that when you put this life in perspective, a drinking glass by the sink is simply not that big of a problem. It should not cause a fight. I thought she should recognize how petty and meaningless it was in the grand scheme of life. I repeated that train of thought for the better part of 12 years, waiting for her to finally agree with me. But she never did. She never agreed. I was arguing about the merits of a glass by the sink, but for my wife, it wasn't about the glass. It wasn't about dishes by the sink or laundry on the floor or her trying to get out of doing the work of caring for our son. It was about consideration, about the pervasive sense that she was married to someone who did not respect or appreciate her. And if I didn't respect or appreciate her, then I didn't love her in a manner that felt trustworthy. She couldn't count on the adult who had promised to love her forever because none of this dish by the sink business felt anything like being loved. I now understand that when I left that glass there, it hurt my wife, literally causing pain, because it felt to her as if I had just said, hey, I don't respect you or value your thoughts or your opinions. Not taking 4 seconds to put my glass in the dishwasher is more important to me than you are. Suddenly, this moment is no longer about something as benign and meaningless as a dirty glass. Now, this moment is about a meaningful act of love and sacrifice. My wife knew I was reasonably smart, so she couldn't figure out how I could be so dense after hundreds of these conversations. She began to question whether I was intentionally trying to hurt her and whether I actually loved her at all. Here's the thing. A dish by the sink in no way feels painful or disrespectful to a spouse who wakes up every day and experiences a marriage partner who communicates in both word and action how important and cherished their spouse and relationship are. My wife didn't flip out over a dish by the sink because she's some insufferable nag who had to have her way all the time. My wife communicated plain pain and frustration over the frequent reminders she encountered that told her over and over again just how little she was considered when I make decisions. When we're having the same fight, positive intent, chalking up any harm caused as accidental, can be just as much of a trust killer as more overtly harmful actions. It doesn't matter whether we are intentionally refusing to cooperate with our spouse or legitimately unable to understand what's wrong. The math results are the same. The net result of the same fight is more pain, less trust, regardless of anyone's intentions. This is how two well-intentioned people slowly fall apart. He says, if I had to distill the problems in failed relationships down to one idea, it would be our colossal failure to make the invisible visible. Our failure to invest time and effort into developing awareness of what we otherwise might not notice in the busyness of daily life. If I had known that this drinking glass situation and similar arguments would actually end my marriage, that the existence of love, trust, respect, and safety in our marriage was dependent on these moments I was writing off as petty disagreements, I would have made different choices. I could have communicated my love and respect for her by not leaving tiny reminders for her each day that she wasn't considered, that she wasn't remembered, that she wasn't respected. I could have carefully avoided leaving evidence that I would always choose my feelings and my preferences over hers. End of quote. Wow. So a dirty glass, actually quite a few of them wound up ending Matthew Frey's marriage, and that's an excerpt from his new book, This Is How Your Marriage Ends, which is actually a recipe for how to save your relationship. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. I really, really want to get your opinion on this. I really, really want to get your takes on this. And I think this is the thing. When it comes to things like this, which might seem like little things to some people, if your wife, for example, wants you to put the dishes in the dishwasher, the reason why you should do it is because you love and respect your wife. And if you don't do it, it tells her that you don't love and respect her. I think that's one of the main points he's trying to make. That this is the message that she will receive. So fellas, if you're listening, guys, if your wife is trying to tell you something like this, you might write it off as something minor. Pay attention. It really, really matters. We're going to go to the phones right now. I want to get your takes on this. Nick is calling from Chicago. Hi, Nick.
Hi. You know, I think this whole thing is petty. My wife is in the hospital coming home after 4.5 hours spine surgery. Thanks to Drew and prayer, she's coming home. And I'm taking care of the house myself. If my wife, I will take care of her she won't be able to go to work for another 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm totally disabled. I have macular degeneration. Oh. But that is so petty. I mean, especially for younger people who have kids, there must be something else deeper than that. Why would a woman leave? All she has to do is communicate to her husband that I want you to do this or do that, please.
You know, first of all, Nick, I'm so sorry to hear about that situation. We'll continue to pray for you and God bless you for your devotion to your good wife. And you've got a lot of physical issues of your own. And I'm going to ask everybody to pray for you, Nick, in Chicago. Thank you for that take. And with respect to your question of did she tell him about this, apparently she did. Apparently she told him many, 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 many times. And he, for whatever reason, didn't think this was meaningful to her at all and kind of tuned her out. And she wound up leaving him. Should she have? That's an interesting point of debate. I'm not saying that she should have, but this is an illustration of some of the things that can happen in marriage and how some of the little things can become huge things. And sometimes it's not the major offenses against marriage and your partner that can cause a permanent split in the relationship. Sometimes it's the little things. And I want to hear what the rest of you guys think about this. 888-914-9149. It's an intriguing article for sure. Mary is calling from Teaneck, New Jersey. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Cal. You know, Cal, a friend of mine said her husband used to leave socks at the, you know, on the floor, and that annoyed her. So her grandmother said, what are you going to do when he's not here anymore? Meaning if he died first. And she thought, gee, he's been a good husband and a good father, and I'm picking on him for this little thing. I mean, look, thank God if you can find a good husband nowadays, thank God. I mean, a silly little thing like that, what she should have just said, you know, hon, this is, it annoys me. Could you put the glass in the dishwasher or something? She's making a big thing out of nothing. Like I said, she should thank God that she had a husband. You know,
okay,
it's minor. I mean, my girlfriend's husband was so bossy, domineering, controlling, I couldn't even talk to her on the phone. He used to rip the phone out of her hand. I was not allowed to go in the house. Total control he wanted over her. And this woman's complaining about a little thing like that?
Okay, so Mary's pretty fired up. Mary in Teaneck, New Jersey, thank you for that call. She's saying this is petty. It's unbelievable that this woman made such a big deal about leaving the dirty dishes by the sink, not putting them in the dishwasher. There's so many other things to complain about. But is it really about the glass left by the sink? Is it about something bigger? Is it about something more? Interesting article. A lot of you guys are really, really fired up about this. The phone lines are lighting up. 888-914-9149. If you want to get in on the conversation, we will be right back. Got to take a quick break right now on the Cale Clark Show. But hang on, we'll have much more from you right after this.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Hey, welcome back to the program. So glad to have you on board. 888-914-9149. Talk about this really interesting article that appeared in The Atlantic, and it was called The Marriage Lesson I Learned Too Late. And it was written by Matthew Frey, whose marriage unfortunately did fall apart. And it's kind of an excerpt from his new book called This Is How Your Marriage Ends, A Hopeful Approach to Saving Relationships. And it centers around how dirty dishes not put away, not put in the dishwasher, eventually became a bone of contention in the marriage and really a symptom of something else that was more deeply wrong that he didn't get, that he didn't see, and wound up ending the relationship. It was like death by a thousand paper cuts, as he termed it in the article. So a lot of you guys are commenting on this. A lot of you guys have really strong takes on both sides. So we're going to go to the phones right now. Claire is calling from Traverse City, Michigan. Hi, Claire.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My husband, we've been married over 25 years, and he frequently leaves dirty dishes right by the dishwasher. And I think initially it kind of annoyed me, and then I just kind of laugh about it. It's like, you got to choose your battles, and he's such a great husband on so many other levels that this is just trivial. And it does seem like there must be something else underlying, you know, this. But either way, it doesn't matter. They should be able to talk about it. And it seems to me she's not really communicating, how she feels or what she needs. Or maybe she's just being ridiculously high maintenance. I don't know. Some people kind of want to be on a pedestal all the time. So I think if people kind of look at each other out of love and respect, but also gratitude, look at the good in the other person instead of being critical, you know, and just having that mindset, divorce is not an option. So how can I make this marriage be a beautiful marriage, you know? So,
yeah, and that,
anyway.
Yeah, well, Claire, first of all, thank you so much for those thoughts, and congratulations to you and your husband for being a great example of hanging in there for 27 years now, and hopefully many more to come. And by the way, I have to say, I just got back from Traverse City, Michigan. That was the first time I'd ever been there. I was there last week. I was giving a talk to a group of people. I was invited by John Scott, a former NHLer who's a big fan, a big friend of this program. He'll be back on soon. And John Scott and his lovely wife, Danielle, invited me to give a talk to a bunch of Relevant Radio fans in Traverse City, Michigan. I've never been there before, but I thought it was just a beautiful, beautiful place. And I can't wait to get back there. So God bless you and all the fans of Relevant Radio in Traverse City. And that was actually the first talk I've actually given live before an audience since the pandemic started. And I got to tell you, it was a little bit like learning to ride a bike again. It kind of freaked me out. I'm seeing actual people in front of me. Wow, this is great. So I had a lot of fun, and thank you so much for calling in. We're going to go now to Todd, who's calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Todd.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What's your take on all this?
Well, it was a life lesson for me. My wife and I had been married many, many years, 18 years. And we went out to a dance, and whenever we go out to a dance or weddings or whatever, she consistently asks me to dance. And I just don't like dancing.
Great.
I never did. So I kind of put my foot down. I said, honey, why are you asking me to dance? We've been married 18 years, and you still continue to ask me to dance. And she said, fine, you know, whatever, that was fine. And what I had noticed after that, after the next 6 months, that she wasn't making my lunches. She wasn't doing the little things that she normally does. Huh. And I thought, well, you know, she's tired or, you know, there's something bothering her, whatever. And I allowed it to go on. And then I asked her about 6 months in. I said, honey, what's going on? Why didn't you stop making the lunches? She says, well, remember that dance when I asked you to dance? I said, yeah. She says, well, sometimes you do things for others, not because you want to do them, but because you love them. And now when she asks me to dance, I get my butt up and I dance.
Thank you, Todd. That's a good lesson right there. That's a good word. That was Todd calling from Wisconsin. I appreciate you, Todd. Call back anytime. And this is interesting because one of the things that Matthew Frey said in this article, and we'll post it in the show notes, by the way, for the podcast after the program. And if you missed the first part of the program where I kind of gave the rundown on this piece, again, listen to the podcast and you can get caught up later. It should be out within an hour or so after the show ends. One of the things that Matthew Frey said was he mentioned the term incarnate love. And I think by that he means, obviously the incarnation is crucial to our faith and that God's love became visible, became personal in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And we kind of have to do that in our relationships as well. We have to make the invisible visible, our interior commitment to our spouse. It has to be shown outwardly in deeds. And St. Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, this isn't really an illustration for marriage, but he told a story. It's kind of embarrassing because he basically admitted a fault of pride. One time as a priest, he was giving communion to a bunch of nuns. He used to go to this convent and celebrate Mass for these nuns. And he said one time when the nuns were in the communion line, they were coming up and receiving our Lord, every time he was giving them the sacred body and blood of our Lord, he was saying interiorly to himself, "Jesus, I thank you that I love you more than this one does." And then the next one would come up, "I thank you that I love you more than this one does." And he heard this voice. It was God speaking to him in the interior life, in the life of the soul, a locution, if you will. And he heard this voice saying, "Love is deeds, not sweet words." And it really convicted him. It really convicted him. And he used to tell that story all the time. And that's true in all of our relationships. Love is deeds, not sweet words. Yes, the words do matter. We have to say the words, "I love you," of course. Nobody ever gets tired of hearing that. But ultimately, if the words don't match the actions, we have a bit of a problem here. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. We're going to go now to Joe. Is Joe still there? Joe is calling from Bristol, Pennsylvania. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me on your program.
You got it.
I had a failed marriage.
Okay.
And actually, I had two. First one destroyed the second one, but and I have been absolved by the Catholic Church. I am Catholic, and I've gone through all of that.
Okay.
What I had to do to have it annulled.
Good.
But if you go back and you look at each and every one of us, it's a world problem, okay? Especially today's problem, because where do we find a modeling of love in marriage? We find it through our parents and the people that we're living with. And as we grow up, we learn all of these dynamics and interactions and everything else. And in some cases, a lot of people are not living a Christian life anymore. And I think that's really the problem, is that people lack the God, they lack the church, they lack the tenets of religion. They also lack what it is to be married, the real meaning of marriage and vows. And most people in today's world choose to be married before they're married, if you can understand what I'm saying, without me getting overt over the radio. they're living
catch
a married
drift.
Life before they're married, and it's right, you know, and it's a world problem. And if we want to straighten a little bit of that out, and I'm telling you, I still fail at this. Mm-hmm. I really do, but I try. But what the world needs for all relationships, and this is, we could even go into our politics, how polarized it is. And our own Pope right now is trying to say what is happening is we listen. I mean, we hear, but we don't listen. We already have an answer. We're thinking of our answer while someone is talking to us.
Yeah.
We're not actually really deeply listening with our hearts. So we need compassion. We need tolerance. We need humility. And we also need God. I think that's the big lacking feature in this whole thing, in this whole dynamic. Because then, if we look through God's eyes, you know, we're looking for somebody who was created in the image and likeness of Jesus and our God. And the bottom line is, how would we want to treat Jesus today? Would we want to do those dishes for Jesus today? Would we want to treat kindly? Would we listen to what he's saying? So if we think about it that way,
Yeah. You know, possibly we may come out with a win-win situation.
And Joe, I'm jump in there. Yeah, and we're all working on it, Joe. And you said a lot of stuff there. Sorry, your phone was kind of breaking up a little bit. We had a bit of a bad connection there. I apologize, Joe, but a lot of great takes there. And would you do the dishes for Jesus? Wow, what would Jesus do, right? That bracelet that everybody used to wear, the WWJD bracelet. That's a great way to look at it. And also you mentioned the importance of modeling and how the marriages that we've seen modeled before us, whether those were our parents, are powerful influences on us. And I think it's true as a general point that the Catholic faith isn't so much taught. And we do a lot of teaching here, of course. We need to. But the Catholic faith isn't so much taught as it is caught. We catch it from modeling. We catch it from those who have lived it out before us, whether it's our parents, our clergy, religious, just people of faith in every walk of life who model it before us. And also the thing you said, Joe, about listening skills, it's so true. We often play mental chess with people. We're trying to figure out the next move as the other person is speaking, rather than actually listening. It's so rare to listen, especially in marriage, what your spouse is really, not just what they're saying, but what they're really trying to say underneath the surface. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Annette, who's calling from Silver City, New Mexico. Hi, Annette.
Hi, Cale.
Hi.
I wanted to say a couple of things. Yes, communication is huge. Rather, it's a little dish that you keep asking over and over for someone, a spouse, to put away. In our situation, my husband tends to, well, I'm going to go run to the car wash. I'll say, okay, great. We'll see you in about an hour. And then he's not back home for three more hours. And then I'll text him and say, hey, honey, you know, we've got something going on at 5. Where are you? And he'll say, oh, I'm at the bike shop. So then when he gets home, I'm crazy. I'm a crazy girl, right? I'm like, okay, honey, I thought you were going to the car wash. Well, I did. I went to the car wash, but I also went by AJ's. I said, okay, I don't care if you go to the bike shop, but you just need to communicate it to me so that I know that you're not coming back in an hour. So trying to be compassionate and caring, and we repeat the same sin over and over. We repeat the same deal, whether it's a dirty dish or whatever the situation is in the marriage. So we have to humbly and kindly remind them, okay, honey, this is what keeps happening, and we really need to talk about it because it really does bother me. And from the perspective of a female, we need to be honest with our answer to them. Say, hey, if it doesn't bother you, let it go. But if it does bother you, you've got to speak up and sit them down and say, this is serious. It doesn't seem serious to you. And, you know, like the one lady said, you know, we shouldn't let the little things get in the way, or we shouldn't you know, you have to pick your battles. Well, that's true in all of life. You know, you have little kids. Mm-hmm. Who cares if the house is dirty or if there's a dirty plate? But at the end of the day, if everyone's trying to put that dirty dish away and everyone's moving forward, kids included, to move the household and to keep it in as much order as you can when you have little kids around, which I don't anymore. We've been married 35 years, but it doesn't ever go away. It's something we have to work on every day, something I have to work on daily. Oh my gosh. Okay. This happened again. Or in the other situation where there's things that bug my husband, he, on the other hand, won't say anything. Cause to me, sometimes my husband is not the best communicator. And then he'll say, well, you did such and such. And I'll say, well, why didn't you tell me at the time I did it? Why are you telling me now 3 months later? You know, again, communication, listening,
I think that's true.
Being humble, being compassionate, because you still love them at the end of the day, but it does make you go away again with that dance. If you ask your husband to dance, and my husband's not a dancer either, I'll say, honey, look, just go and dance, have a drink. One time I'll go dance with my brothers and my sisters, but I want to dance with you too. And he will, because he knows that that's important to me too.
Yeah. And I think, Annette, you said a lot of great things. A really good phone call. It was Annette calling from Silver City, New Mexico. I wanted just to pick up on your main theme there, which is communication. And sometimes we like your husband sort of, well, why didn't you know? It was bothering me. Sometimes we can assume the other person knows that something is really bothering you, but you have to communicate it. You have to get it out in the open. And in the case of Matthew Frey and his spouse and his wife, now ex-wife, sadly, was trying to communicate again and again. He said hundreds of times, maybe thousands throughout their marriage. She told him, listen, this idea of you leaving your dirty dishes by the sink really bothers me. But it's about much more than that. It's about much more than that, obviously. And I shared this with my wife. A lot of this hits pretty close to home for me, by the way, because, hey, I am guilty as charged sometimes not doing things I should do around the house. Let's put it that way. And as guys, I don't know, sometimes we just don't see these things. And my wife's always saying, how can you not see this? I don't know. I'm a guy. It just, now you can't always blame it on being a guy. But having said that, you know, when I shared this story with my wife, and she said that, you know, when you look at this guy's wife, her feelings of safety, trust, being loved, being it's a safe place, that was all dependent on him putting away the glass, the dirty dishes. Now, that might seem strange, but my wife said this, and maybe some of you ladies out there can relate to this. This is what my wife, Trish, said. She said, a woman very often feels like she has to carry all of the burdens of the family on her shoulders. She always has to carry everybody's burdens, her kids, her husband's, her own. And so when a wife approaches her husband and asks him for help. And it could be about anything. It could be about the dishes. It could be about this. It could be about that. But when she asks him for help, it's kind of like she's taking off a piece of her armor that she has to wear every day. She's taking off a piece of her armor and she's becoming very, very vulnerable. Asking for help makes you vulnerable because you're vulnerable now to being wounded. And if the husband, and this could happen the other way too, if a husband asks his wife for something, for help, something that he needs in the relationship, whatever. If that is ignored, you ask for help and you're ignored, then you start to kind of bleed where you took off your armor. You the hurt will start to bleed out. And so when he rejected her by saying, can you help me with this? And he said, no, she suffers inside. She closed herself off and she began to suffer inside. And so I think for in her case, she didn't feel emotionally well taken care of. She didn't feel, for whatever reason, now you could say maybe she's making a mountain out of a molehill here, and a lot of you guys do think that. She didn't feel well taken care of, didn't feel secure in the relationship. And at that point she probably started to shut down about other things. That's my I kind of feel like Lucy in Peanuts, right? You know, the doctor's in 5 cents. I'll give you my thoughts, and that's probably about how much they're worth. So I know you guys have more takes on this, so I want to hear what you think. It's your program. It's the people's program. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back after this. 888-914-9149. Quick break. We'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values. And fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program. I want to remind all of you that you can join Father Rocky and Relevant Radio listeners from Maui to Maine in a pilgrimage walk to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help on Saturday, May the 7th. You can walk part of the way. You can walk all the way. The Walk to Mary is Saturday, May 7th, and information and registration is at walktomary.com. That's walktomary.com. And actually, Father's going to be joining me for a fun conversation on the show. Part of the show tomorrow, so I can't wait for that. And today on the show, 888-914-9149 is the number to call, 888-914-9149. We're talking about Matthew Frey and the tragic end of his marriage. Writer, author of a new book called This Is How Your Marriage Ends, A Hopeful Approach to Saving Relationships. Wrote a piece in The Atlantic. It's kind of an excerpt from the book about how the downfall of his marriage really began with his leaving dirty dishes by the sink, not putting them in the dishwasher, what really is the problem here. A lot of you guys have takes on this. We're going to go back to the phones right now. Angela is calling from Upland, California. Hi, Angela.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So when you were first reading the excerpt, well, let me preface this with my husband and I have been married almost 37 years.
Wow.
And and I've been fighting with him about the socks next to the laundry basket for 37 years. But the reason we have stayed together for so long is, for one, we love each other and we say it to each other all the time, whether it's in texting or, you know, when we're leaving, whatever. So that is always something that just helps to remind us that, you know, there's a bigger picture to look at. The other thing is, I don't know whether this gentleman who went through the divorce is Catholic or Christian, but we don't miss church. So we go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
We pray together at night. Sometimes, you know, over 37 years, it's looked differently. You know, in the beginning, it was with our children. And now as empty nesters, you know, we'll pray together laying in bed. And I really appreciate when he says, you know, thank you for the blessing of Angela, you know, when we're praying together at night. And also, when I pick up those socks next to the laundry basket, and I'm feeling frustrated and, oh my goodness, how many times?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then a lot of times my patron saint, Saint Therese of Lisieux, comes to my mind. And I think, okay, this little thing I can offer up as a prayer. I can put, you know, the socks in the laundry basket and just pray for my husband at the same time. And the other point that I want to make
outlook
is, in this day and age, we're a throwaway society and everybody wants to just have things be perfect. And if they're not perfect, let's move on to the next thing. Well, my mom, when we got married, my parents been married 58 years. She told me in the beginning, marriage is a roller coaster ride. And sometimes you're going to want to get off. And sometimes you're going to white knuckle it and just scream and just hold on. And I've seen their marriage go through ups and downs. And 37 years, we've been on a roller coaster ride. And sometimes I'm just thinking, let me off. And then I realize, okay, this is just the white knuckle it part. And we'll get back to the, you know, going uphill and having fun. So I think that in this day and age, a lot of people don't realize it's not just one smooth, easy ride. It's a roller coaster ride, and it can be a lot of fun.
Roller coasters are supposed to be fun. You're not supposed to jump out midstream, that's for sure. Angela, thank you very much for that call. A lot of great points that you made there. Calling from Upland, California, call anytime. Yeah, the religious aspect, yeah, when it comes to Matthew Frey and his wife, I don't know if there was any religious aspect to their marriage. That, I haven't read the book, but it sounds intriguing. But just reading that little excerpt, not 100% sure whether there's a faith perspective there or not. And clearly, if you have that, if you have a sacramental marriage, wow, sometimes I don't know. Because, look, and you sort of alluded to this too, Angela. Marriage is basically, you didn't say these words, but marriage is basically two sinners moving in together. Okay, so what do you think is going to happen? There's going to be some conflict, of course. We're not yet canonized saints, but marriage is the path to that. If you're called to marriage, then your spouse is supposed to sanctify you. And sometimes they sanctify you in unexpected ways. Like, and the example you gave of saying a prayer for your husband when you're putting his dirty socks in the hamper, that's a great example of that. Not saying he should be doing that, but you're certainly making the most of that spiritually. So I really appreciate that. A lot of great tips there. And now let's go to Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. Teresa, speaking of St. Therese, and now there's Teresa. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Cal. I only have one little observation about Matt Frey's letter article. Is she's lucky he put the cup by the sink instead of leaving it in the living room or in the bathroom or in the bedroom. You know, I mean, it was by the sink. So he didn't put it in the dishwasher. At least it got to the kitchen.
Yeah. At least it got to the kitchen. Yeah, that's a great point, Teresa. At least it was proximate to the goal. Didn't quite make it all the way. Maybe that's even more frustrating to be so close and yet so far away. But yeah, at least you didn't leave the dirty dishes in the living room. Yeah, we could say that. Thank you very much for that levity there, Teresa. Appreciate that. We're going to go now to Elvia, who's calling from Downers Grove, Illinois. Hello, Elvia.
Hi, Kale. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I can relate to this situation. And let me tell you from my point of view, I think that it is a lack of respect, of love, of compassion on someone's end, because this is what happens. And let me tell you. So for a long time, I asked my husband to do this, this, and that, and he wasn't doing it. So I felt like this. Okay, I thought we were one. I thought we were a team. And you are doing something that upsets me. If it were the other way around, I would immediately change if it was something at my reach. It's something so simple. There's got to be something more. And it's those little things that become big. And let me explain why. If I ask you several times to do this and you continue to do it, it means that you don't care about me. It means that you really are disregarding my feelings. So if it's happening over and over again, I'm starting to feel like you're taking advantage of me. All that time that I have to do to pick up after you, I could be spending it with you if you could just help me a little bit. So and so I asked, I said, honey, if your boss would ask you at work not to do this, would you continue to do it? If your mother asked you to do it, would you continue to do it? So why are you doing it with me? What is wrong? I'm not asking you something out of your reach, something super simple that honestly bothers me. And when you say, you know, oh, we should be happy that he's this, this, and that, or she's this, this, and that. Yeah, that's great. But there's always room for improvement. If he would ask me, please don't leave your purse right there. Definitely not. Honey, why? Because it bothers me. Okay, valid reason. I won't do it again. Simple as that. I can understand this woman because she probably thought, okay, he doesn't care after I said all these times he doesn't love me. What's left if there's no love, compassion, and respect? What I have left if that simple little thing that he could do to make me happy, he doesn't care enough.
Elvia, that's a passionate point that you're making there. Would you get away with that at work if your boss asks you to do something? You might think it's a strange request, but if you don't do it, especially if it's a legitimate request, if you don't do it, you might find yourself on the street. Is it a case of taking your spouse for granted? She'll always be around or he'll always be around. I don't need to really take this seriously. Well, in the case of this guy, Matthew Frey, and if you missed the beginning of the program, definitely check out the podcast. It's an interesting life lesson for sure. We're going to go now to, I'm actually going to go to Ray in Peoria, Illinois. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Kale, how are you doing today?
Good, good, good. What's your take on all this?
Good, great, great article. Well, it reminds me, I was kind of the same way, and it reminds me of a book called The Five Love Languages.
Gary Chapman,
the author is,
right?
Yes. And he talks about, we all have things that make us feel loved and wanted. It sounds like the author's wife, was it Matt Frey? His wife's love language was what they call acts of service. So doing something for me.
Yeah, right.
As we've been listening to some of the.
Just let me just jump in there real quick. Can you tell people what the five love languages are from that book, if you remember them straight up?
If I remember, they're formation, acts of service, spending time, physical touch, and then gifts.
Yeah.
You know, some sort
giving
of
gifts. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
And sometimes a secondary one. And that's just so, it's important to realize that. When I learned that, I mean, I didn't figure this out till my wife and I've been married almost 28 years, that she just wanted me to spend time with her. If I spent time with her, then none of the other things were didn't create as big a problem because she knew I loved her because I spent time with her. That was her love language. And I need to make sure I pay attention. For me, that's not as important as for me. I like the acts of service and just the physical touch, just a hug every morning.
Yeah.
You know, when we come home from work, things like that.
Yeah.
It's different for different people. And it's not, you know, men and women are just different with that too. And it's not just men tend to one group of them or not. It's just, it's kind of some of the, you know, for us, it's what the way God made us.
Yeah, that's a great point, Ray. We're going to really want to pick up on that in a second. We're going to go to really quickly to Chris in Milwaukee. Chris, we've got about 30 seconds here. What's your take on this?
Hey, Kale. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, my take on it was, you know, I've been married a little over 10 years, and early on in my marriage, I would come home, you know, a house would be, you know, not a mess, but, you know, kids would be running around, and I would always ask my wife, well, what do you need me to do? And her response would always be, well, don't you see what needs to be done? I think a lot of men kind of fall into that trap.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
We're inferior. We're pretty stupid. So now I try to look for what needs to be done around the house, little things I can do to help my wife out because she does so much. So I know you're running out of time, but thank you for taking my call.
Hey, you got it, Chris. That's a great point. And my wife is talking to me about this all the time, too. Try to open your eyes and try to observe. But I think also asking them, what do you need help with, is really important. I know that you do that. And I think Ray's point also about the five love languages, by this book by Gary Chapman, check that out. It's a really good book. It's written by not a Catholic Christian, but I think it's right on the money that we all have love languages, ways that we connect with our spouse or loved one. Some are more important to you than others, maybe, but all of them matter at some level. Great show, everybody. Thank you for the great calls, great takes on this. Check the podcast if you missed any of it. We'll be back tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.